Pastor Candy. Good morning, everyone. Those that are here, those that are watching online, we bless you. We're glad you're here today. How many know that just because we can't worship like it seemed like we used to, with a full house and coming together, that the presence of God does still come? Someone say amen to that. He doesn't leave because the norm of how we worship is no longer, at least to this point. We hope in the near future we'll be back to some kind of worship experience that was similar to what we once knew. But listen, until that day, I believe there's enough collective wisdom, not just in this room, but really in the body of Christ and throughout the world, for God to give us direction, to give us steps, to show us what direction we should go. I think last week I might have said something along the lines that I read from the scripture, actually, that said we've never been this way before. Well, you know what? That's a true statement, right? We've never been this way before. So this morning, I want to speak for just a few moments on what I believe we need probably as much as anything right now. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of things swirling in the atmosphere right now. I think you would agree. Lots of things being said, a lot of things being spoken, a lot of things being plastered on the social, you know, on social media, on the internet, on the whatever. But listen to me this morning. What we really need ultimately is not the opinion of man. We don't simply need the opinion of a politician. We don't really simply need the opinion of a pastor. What we really need is we need the heart of God to be able to see circumstances through his eyes. And as we see them through his eyes, then we will be able to respond accordingly, not react, which I know we all have done. I'm still finding myself in a reactive mode at times when something is spouted off. I'm like, are you kidding me? I get a little bit fired up. I know you probably don't. You're probably real chill and have no reaction to anything, but that's not me, man. I'm really having to learn to process this whole thing, and maybe this is a part of the new norm for my own life. I think we mentioned last week, we said, you know, in the book of James, it said, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And I don't know that we've done that real well in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the tension of racial injustice. I don't know that we've done overly well in responding. I think we've been very reactive at times. And now it's time for us, I think, to shift gears. I think it's time for all of us to hear the voice of God and respond accordingly. There was a movie that came out many, many years ago in the early 70s. Some of you might remember this movie. If you're old enough, you probably will, but it was called Thief in the Night. It came out in 1972. I was 10 years of age, and I remember it well because what it did, it put the fear of, I don't think of God in me, but it put a fear in me that was like no other. I remember having nightmares because of this movie. Thief in the Night, to surmise, was basically a movie that talked and showed the rapture of the church taking place. It was the tension of a few young people that were considering the ways of God. And at some point in the movie, what we call the rapture in the New Testament, took away all the Christians from the earth and left those that had never confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it goes on to tell the story of a young lady who was pondering Christ but never made the decision, was left behind, if you will, and then became one that we'll just call it the Antichrist and his minions were going after, trying to catch her, trying to capture her, trying to force her to what is called the mark of the beast. Now, I'm not talking eschatology this morning. I'm telling you a story quickly to kind of put context as to what I want to share. I still remember the point in the movie that put so much fear in me. When she was running from these authorities, they said, meet us on the dam. So she goes to this dam, gets on top of the dam, and there she thought her friends would be to help her escape, only to find her friends had turned their back on her, and were now people had taken the mark, and were now going to make her take the mark. All I can still see is helicopter chasing this girl in the wilderness, trying to capture her. I had nightmares of helicopters. I had nightmares of 666. I had nightmares of all kinds of things because I was afraid that I'd be left behind. It's really not the best motivation, fear, to cause a person to say yes to Jesus. Although I know many people have responded to that message of fear, I don't believe it's the greatest message. Can fear be used in a positive way to bring people into a relationship with Jesus? Yes. It's possible right now. There's a lot of angst in the country. Not possibly, there is. A lot of angst, a lot of fear, a lot of emotion going on in the hearts of people. And I believe that because of the uncertainty of the hour, because of what we don't know about our future, it's quite possible, if not probable, that we'll see one of the greatest harvests we've ever seen. But it won't simply come because I'm afraid of the rapture being left behind. It won't simply come because I'm afraid of taking some mark. Friends, listen, Jesus is bigger than all of this. Whatever your eschatology, let's talk this morning about how we can grow a proper fear of God, a proper fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I feel like there's a lot of foolishness going on in the land right now. There's a lot of people that aren't listening to the right voices. The book of Proverbs, we find, is a collection of teachings from Solomon to his son, showing the young man how to live his life in a way that was pleasing to God. I believe that in the current age that we're living in, we need a revival of the wisdom or the knowledge of God. How do we attain that which Solomon had? Have you ever read about Solomon, how wise he was? The smartest man ever. How we increase our discernment of spiritual things, the mysteries that are going on around us right now, the revelations of God. How do we increase that? Let's talk a little bit about wisdom this morning. I'm asking God for greater wisdom. I need wisdom in this moment. I need wisdom to navigate my personal life, my family life, my ministry life, just life in general. How about you? We need to know what God's saying and speaking to us and then respond accordingly. Wisdom defined is the quality or the state of being wise. Very simple. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. Discernment, proper insight. To know what is true or right, coupled with discernment or godly insight, will produce a lifestyle of respect and a people of honor. Right now, there is so much dishonor going on, and it's been going on for a while. Our politicians are dishonoring one to another. People are dishonoring to one another. We've seen it in a way that maybe we have not seen it before. It's been my observation over many years that most of us don't intend to act ignorant or stupid or not wise, but rather out of lack of true awe of God, reverential fear of God, we tend to act on our own merits, our own personal head knowledge, rather than that which God has revealed to us or confirmed in our hearts. There was a memory. We happened to have dinner with some dear friends this past week, a few days ago, actually, and a memory that I found as I was reading through some material of an experience that we had in Las Vegas many years ago at one of their Holy Spirit conferences. And I remember Candy and I in particular went forward, and we were really hungry at that moment for more of the presence of God. Sergio Scataglini, who has actually stood here behind this pulpit and spoke for our family, began to pray over us. Before I knew it, I was told, I probably don't remember because I always say I don't fall down, but I was on the ground. He released a fire and a passion over Candy and I that no doubt in that moment was a moment of shift and change. And then Pastor Denise Goulet actually began to pray over me. I don't know if you remember this or not. I don't remember much of it, but one thing that did stand out in my mind, she said, the fear of the Lord will increase in you, your leadership and your church. How many know that prophetic words or things that we prophesy don't always, most often don't happen in the moment, but it takes time for that to increase or to come to fruition. You understand that? And let me just put a pause real quick in this and say to you, just because we're in a moment of a pandemic or a pause in the land and we're in this really weird tension, let me say something to you. the gifts of the Spirit do not stop. There's not a divine pause on the things that are inside of you, the prophetic words that have been given, the release of His glory and power for you to give words of knowledge, for you to pray for the sick and for them to be healed, and so on. I want to encourage you, these don't stop. Practice them. Continue to release the word of the Lord over people. You say, well, I can't. Listen, we're around people all the time, 6 feet, whatever. You can do a Zoom call. You can pray for someone on the phone. There's other ways of prophesying than simply being in a house like this or somewhere else where it's convenient. That's part of the wisdom of God. God wants to release an ability for you to see things differently in this hour so you can release what God's placed inside of you. We have never stopped in all the years pursuing His presence. I refuse to let a camera or a pandemic or a racial injustice and all the various things that's happening right now to put a pause on my life, your life, our life from believing that everything that's been prophesied over the church of Jesus Christ is still going to come to pass. It may look different, but that's why we need the wisdom of God. We need the fear of the Lord to show us the way. What does the fear of the Lord really refer to? When we think of fear, like I mentioned a moment ago, we tend to think terror. We think, I'm afraid of getting COVID. And it's not necessarily a wrong fear, but we think of fear in that context. But Webster says it this way. He says, it's a feeling of anxiety and agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, pain, etc. For many, this would describe the feeling you get when you might, and I hate spiders. Amen? When you see a black widow or you see those stupid spider webs are everywhere right now. They're just, you know, and what's weird about those particular spiders and their webs is like you hardly ever see the spider, but you always see the web kind of floating in the wind. And you're like, I know he's close by. If I could just find him, he would meet Jesus right now on the spot. He would no longer be whatever he was created to be. We're in my little office that I have in my backyard, and Candy comes in to see me, and I'm working on the computer. All of a sudden, she shrieks. I'm like, it freaked me out. I shrieked as well. I stood up. We ran out of the room. I go, what's wrong? Well, I thought something like a massive, like some kind of a rhino was in my office. It was a tiny little fat old lizard that on my little wood floors that you could hear going, fear from a little tiny, my heart was pounding. This is the kind of fear we're talking about. I got that little booger out, by the way. I want you to know I am now a lizard wrangler. But this is not the kind of fear we're talking about this morning. We're talking about a healthy understanding of our awe of God. This is a fear of what may happen, fear of the rapture, fear of being left behind is not the kind of God concept we're to have. In the modern vernacular, the word fear in the context of which Solomon used it had been replaced with reverence, awe, and great respect. Do we have that kind of reverence in the church today? Is it possible that God is wrangling his children, if you will, like I did that little fat lizard in my office? He's trying to wrangle the church out of complacency and move us into a place where we can actually understand what he's trying to communicate, his awesomeness, to fear the Lord, to stand in awe of God and say, Father, forgive me for what I've done. Known or unknown, God, help us to walk in that place. Oswald Chambers is a brilliant old author of Day Gone By. He writes these words. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. I'm going to say that again because I think it's so good. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, the awesome, just say awesome, awesome. That word will never go bad. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. It's not just a generational thing. Some may think it is, but we are to stand in the awesomeness of God. There's just not a better word sometimes. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. What kind of fear is compelling you to live your life today? Why is the wisdom of God necessary in walking with him in this hour in which we live? As the presence of God increases on the earth, we will see miracles increase. But they're not probably going to be as easy as we thought they would come. I'm with you guys in this when I say this, but we have been in a place of real comfortability, if that's even a word. We've been so comfortable as the church in America, and I've loved being comfortable, to be quite honest with you, that we've expected revival, and we've seen glimpses of revival. We would consider ourselves a revival church, but hear this. The problem is, it's never caused us to take it outside the walls like God requires of us, the true ecclesia. We have to a degree, but I'm talking about more than the 15 to 20%. I'm talking about the totality of the church in San Diego, in America, doing what we've been called to do. We've got to have the supernatural wisdom of the Father to navigate the waters that we call revival as they come in the very near future. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea," that's in the New King James. In the New Living Translation, "For the time will come when all the earth will be filled, as the waters fill the sea, with an awareness of the glory of the Lord." There's coming a day when there'll be an awareness of the glory of God like we've never seen before. I think it's going to require eyes to see, hearts to feel, our senses to know that the glory of the Lord is surrounding us. And we must know what to do while we're in the midst of that glory. A couple more things as we wrap up. Ephesians 1, 16 through 18 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the knowledge of him, Jesus, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you know you have an inheritance? You do. We've taught this for years. I hope you haven't forgotten it. You've been given an inheritance. It's not a future inheritance to spend after we're all gone. It's an inheritance to spend right now. Some of the keys to unlocking the door to greater things, the understanding, the awe of God, the wisdom of God, and operating into the fear of the Lord is when we utilize these things that we find in the scripture, we can get the things that are on the other side of the door. How many have knocked on a door and just could not break through, or you couldn't figure out what it was that God was trying to say? Keep knocking. Don't stop knocking, because there's going to come a time when the door will be open to you and you'll peer through and you'll go, wow! But the problem is, for many of us, we give up too soon on what God's trying to reveal. Mysteries revealed. Verse 18 of Ephesians speaks that your spiritual eyes will desire what is being revealed, that there will be a simple knowing that God is at work. The same word is used, that idea of knowing that God is at work, is in Mark 12:30. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment." See, the wisdom we're speaking of this morning is not academic knowledge. It's very broad in context, and it's very often supernatural, keen insight. He wants us right now, this is where we're going to land this plane.
He wants you to ask him even this morning for supernatural wisdom that unlocks heavenly supply. How many need more supply right now? You need more. You need more strength. You need more patience. You need less angst. You need supernatural supply. If you do, before you leave today, ask the Father for it. There's no lack in heaven. Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as what? It is in heaven. Tap into that which is available in heaven, and we can believe for the supernatural provision and tap into your inheritance, our inheritance as sons and daughters. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. This morning as we wrap up, I just simply want to pray that God would reveal to you and I his heart. Wisdom is being able to see through the eyes of God any situation and asking him to reveal what truth looks like. We don't always get it right, but how many know we need more? We need wisdom today to navigate these crazy times. We need the heart of the Father to direct your path. We need the kingdom of heaven to come to earth and invade our nation. So right now I pray two things. One, I pray for supernatural wisdom and abundance for my family this morning that's here, that's watching. In the name of Jesus, may you just illuminate to their hearts, enlighten their eyes to the things that God, you desire to speak and to show. The second thing I pray, in the name of Jesus, we speak to a nation. We speak to the politicians. We speak to all the activity in our nation right now. We say, peace be still. Let love abound. Let love rise up. And let there be a love revolution. We had a love revolution time here years ago in a conference. We do these conferences and we think that's going to happen in a moment. But right now, we pull from that season into our today. And we say, let the love revolution begin. Let it happen now on our watch. Love like you've never loved before. Forgive like you've never forgiven before. Seek like you've never sought before. And believe like you've never believed before. That greater is he that's within you than the spirit of the Antichrist, which is outside the walls of your heart and in the world today. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. Have a great day.